Pastor Lauer from our Seder Lutheran Church in Mankato, which brings you this brief broadcast each Sunday morning at this same time. Our Seder's is located at 1103 North Broad Street in Mankato. That's just across the street from Franklin Elementary. During these times of pandemic, our regular services are indoors at 8 and 10:30 a.m. We also have a parking lot service at 9:15. Please join us for Christian worship, education, fellowship, and service.
Everything I've done has been to help you on the way. But you took all that you wanted, then at last you took your leave. And traded off a kingdom for the lies that you believed. And although you've chosen darkness with its miseries and fears, although you've gone so far from me and wasted all these years, even though my name's been spattered by the mire in which you lie, I'd take you back this instant if you turn to me and cry. I don't care where you've been sleeping, I don't care who's made your bed, I already gave my life to set you free. There's no sin you could imagine that is stronger than my love. It's all yours, you'll come home again to me. Come back to your senses, and you see who's been to blame. Remember all the good things that were yours with just my name. And then don't waste another thought before you change the way you're bound. I'll be running out to meet you if you'll only turn around. Just turn around. I don't care where you've been sleeping, I don't care who's made your bed, I already gave my life to set you free. There's no sin you could imagine that is stronger than my love. It's all yours, you come home again. I don't care where you've been sleeping, I don't care who's made your bed, I already gave my life to set you free. There's no sin you could imagine that is stronger than my love. It's all yours if you'll come home again.
Grace and peace to each of you from God, our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We Lutherans have been really big on emphasizing this God-given truth, that the reason or cause for our salvation is not in ourselves, not in what we think, not in what we do, not in how we feel, but we are saved by God's grace alone, which we receive by faith alone. In other words, it is God's love which caused Him to send His Son to redeem the world. It is the love of Christ our Savior that moved Him to give His life as a ransom or payment to buy us back from sin and death. We want to be very clear about this. God does not love us because we're such great people. He does not require us to think or feel or do particular things in order to be His children. Christ alone gets all the glory and the honor and the praise for setting us free from sin and death. In our readings for today, just a few moments ago, God speaks through the prophet Isaiah about His beloved vineyard. That's an image of the Old Testament people of Israel. He did everything for them. He planted them in a fertile land. He cleared the vineyard of stones. He put a wall around them to protect them. He kept watch over them. There was nothing more that He could have done for them. And this is also as it is for us. Our Heavenly Father has done everything so that we might be His own and live under Him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. Again, we are not His because we are such great people, but because our God is great, and because His Son is our perfect Savior. Jesus then applies that same message from the Old Testament, the analogy of a vineyard, to God's people. We are His people. We are saved by God from sin and death. And we have a place with Him waiting for us in His eternal kingdom. All because of the work and merit of Jesus. This is true. We must never forget that. But you know, farmers plant fields and take care of them. And God makes us His children and He watches over us for a purpose. That purpose is not just to make us His own, but that we might bear fruit, metaphorically speaking. You are not just a piece of art. Beautiful as you are in the eyes of God, He didn't create you and redeem you just to set you on a shelf for people to look at until one day He comes and takes you into heaven. As valuable as you are to Him, you're not a bar of gold locked up in a vault someplace waiting for our Lord to come and collect us. No. God always speaks of His people as living beings. Persons which are not ends in themselves, but also means to more ends. So God creates Adam and Eve and He puts them in a perfect garden. And He doesn't just say, have fun. He says, take care of the garden. Be fruitful and multiply. Likewise, God saved Noah and his family, along with all the animals in the ark, in order to repopulate the earth. God had a purpose for saving him. David describes the man of God as a tree which God has transplanted by streams of water. He bears much fruit, David says. His leaves never wither. Whatever he does prospers. God describes us as the sheep of His flock. But you know, any farmer will tell you that you don't raise sheep or cattle or chickens or anything else just because you like to have them around. They're actually kind of stinky. Rather, we raise these things because they produce wool or milk or eggs or meats or trees that bear fruit and vines that produce grapes. So it is true, you are very priceless and precious to God. He has given you everything in Christ Jesus our Savior, who gave His very life to make you a member of His family, just as He has now for Brianna. He does not want you to despair or doubt. But having you with Him in eternal life is not the only purpose that God has for you. If it were, He could have immediately taken you up into heaven at the moment that you were baptized. But He doesn't. We stay here, not locked up someplace waiting for Jesus to return, not put on a shelf someplace for others to simply say, oh, look, a child of God, isn't that nice? But He keeps us here so that we can continue His own work of bringing the love of God to people This is how the Christian life should be. God cares for us and He makes us His own when He puts His name upon us in baptism, when He forgives us every day of our sins, when He feeds us with the body and blood of Jesus, His Son, when He reminds us again and again of the promised inheritance which is in store for us in the kingdom of heaven. It is here on Sunday morning, around the Word and gifts of God, that He cares for us and tends us like a shepherd cares for his sheep, or a vine dresser cares for the vineyard. But then He expects that we will bear fruit by being His people. Your concern is no longer to be with yourself, because God is taking care of you. Your eternal salvation is already assured. Now you are free to be concerned about the good of others. God goes out into the world. God does His work in the world out there, not immediately through bolts of lightning or supplies falling down on hurricane victims by magic, but He does all of that through you. You are His representative to your family. We can teach kids till we're blue in the face about the love of God, but you in your family will show them what the love of God looks like as you forgive each other, as you are there for each other through thick and thin, in better and in worse, in richer and in poorer. You are the salt of the earth, the light in the dark world. So it is here among the assembly of the faithful that God plants His Word in us, that He gives us His gift of forgiveness, life, and eternal salvation, making us and reminding us again and again that we are His own. But after the service, as we teach our children in Sunday school, as we bring them to confirmation class, as we model the Christian life for them in the home with prayer and study and devotion, as we demonstrate our hope which is in Christ, and the fellowship that we have with God and with others, that is how we bear fruit for the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus reminds us as New Testament people of God, just as God told His Old Testament people, the Israelites, He reminds us that being a child of God is one thing. And it is great and marvelous to behold and to know that you belong to Him. The kingdom is yours. It can't be taken away. But living as a child of God is another thing. The first, becoming a child of God, God Himself did without any work on our part. But the second part involves maturing and growing and bearing fruit. You will always be His. Because He loves you. Because Jesus gave His life to save you. But if you are to remain in the family, there comes a time to grow up. To roll up our sleeves. To get busy doing His work. So that the kingdom of heaven doesn't end with us. We see lots of people who are glad to be the children of God. But not so many who know how God's family grows. And we know lots of people who look forward to being with God in heaven. But not so many who see that there is much to do here before we go there. You belong to Him. That's true. But you don't have to be the last. In Jesus' name, amen.